Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, everybody working up. Everybody's working.
With that, time's yours.
First things first, I'd like to issue a brief apology to the dear listeners of Time's Ours, because we were going to do this show 24 hours ago. Then a bunch of fecal matter hit the fan, and the fan blades have just kept spinning for the last 24 hours, not just through the NFL anymore on the COVID front, but also for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are the one seed in the AFC right now, by the way. That was going to be the main thing we talked about in our Monday post-Thursday night, post-NFL weekend action episode. That little one seed note, I think, is going to be relegated to at least not the first thing we get to. Plus, I asked for questions for this episode. I thought I wanted to hit a little mailbag in this episode. We might do our best to get there still. But those questions were asked in a different world. Those questions were asked a day and a half ago. In the last day and a half, my friends, some things have happened. And they're not great.
No, they are not. As we currently speak to you on a interesting Tuesday afternoon, right before two NFL games kick off?
Oh, yeah, there's football tonight.
I remembered and forgot again, and I just remembered. We're going to try to do our best today, folks, but as of right now, there are 14 players, 13 on the active roster, who have been placed on the COVID-19 list. Most notably, Chris Jones from last week, Willie Gay from last week, and then obviously over the last 36 hours, I would guess based on testing time frame, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are now on the list. I'm just going to do a simple looking at the roster on a piece of paper. And
way to crinkle the paper to make it clear good work. That you have it. That was well done.
And the only rooms to, as of now, not be impacted by the virus and what appears to be the new variant of the virus, the only rooms to not be impacted so far are the quarterback room and the running back room. Every
two
other
most important positions.
Every other room. I heard that.
Thank you. It was totally unnecessary. This is going to be a serious open, I think, and I'm just trying to get a little joke in.
Even the special teams room has some issues. So some positions such as offensive line, tight ends, wide receivers, linebackers, and DBs have two at least as of right now in the DB room. It's three positive tests. I'm sure there are a lot of questions, Josh. I'm going to cede the floor to you. And I asked someone a little bit before we recorded today, and I want to do my job with the sincerity it requires, but I asked a few people, based on their experience, understanding how last year worked, this is now considered an outbreak. This many players with this many positive tests in multiple positions, and the list growing or continuing, I should say, from one day to the next, all those things make it clear that the Chiefs, this is the first time since the pandemic that they've had an outbreak.
And it does seem like a good idea to mention here, and if either of you disagree with this, you can let me know, but seems like a very good chance that if someone's not listening to this until midday Wednesday, or perhaps Wednesday evening, seems incredibly likely that there will be more names on this list. I don't think that's irresponsible to speculate about, just given the contagious nature of this, the spread throughout all the rooms that you just mentioned, and the just the number here. I'm going to go ahead and just give you the names I've got real quick. I'm going to pull here from the list from Nick Jacobs over at KSHB 41. He's kept a good running tally. And I think, I don't know if I'm going to break news to you, Nate, but I think you said that there was a practice squad player on your list. There are two more now.
So, okay.
So the timeline here, again, pulling from Nick's list, you got Josh Gordon over a week ago, Chris Jones a week ago today, Willie Gay Jr. a week ago tomorrow, which I think also puts all of them in the previous protocol before all of that got fully updated. Correct. But all of them seem to have a pretty okay chance of testing negative a couple of times and maybe being able to play if that Steelers game is played on Sunday, which right now, I don't know if we know that for an absolute fact. And you have Garrett Dieter on the practice squad. Then this Monday, you get Travis Kelce, Charvarius Ward, and Harrison Butker. And then today, on Tuesday, you get Tyreek Hill, Rashad Fenton, Blake Bell, Nick Bolton, Lucas Niang, Kyle Long, Armani Watts, in addition to, from the practice squad, Darius Harris and Dorrice Fountain. So that is the list that we have as of about 4:20. We're all blazing it here. It's 4:20 Central Time. Yep. That's the list we have. And Seth, I mean, you're a real expert when it comes to the football world. Could you say this is bad for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm going to have to wait until the All-22 comes out to determine whether or not Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are integral parts of the Chiefs offense.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You know, I've been kind of waiting for this because, you know, the Chiefs didn't really have a big thing last year at all. And then this year has been super quiet on it. It seems one of the results of kind of the new world that we're currently in, which is like, things are a little more relaxed in some ways, you know, in terms of protocols and that kind of stuff. And then you have a variant that is at least preliminary stuff that they're looking at is much more contagious, but thankfully less, what's the word? Mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
You kind of, which I think people learning that there's a natural human impulse, one, over the course of 2 years it's tough to white knuckle it for 2 years. You know, people are going to relax a little bit. So I'm going somewhere with all this. And it's that I kind of figured with where things are at right now, I kind of wonder if we're past the point to where teams are going to have like one or two cases.
Yeah.
Like it feels like they're at a point like where when it happens, it's like, well, because people are no longer, you know what I mean? Like all the things that you had to do, you don't have to do anymore. You know, you can be in a smaller room meeting without masks for hours. You know what I mean? Like there's just, and it was bound, I feel like, to happen. I'm glad that it's at least, again, it appears based on everything that we hear that most people under the new protocols with perhaps this new variant, but that people are fine overall so far. So we can hope that that continues. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
it was,
As of Monday, when Kelce got added to the list, I was told that there were no major symptoms. Now, that has not changed today as of Tuesday afternoon. It's a mix of guys who were asymptomatic or have, I guess, what could be classified as minor symptoms. But nothing appears serious in terms of the symptoms as of now.
I appreciate you telling us that because that allows us to, without becoming ghoulish, talk about the football side of things and also can bring a sense of relief knowing the people that, you know, we do care about because they seem like pretty awesome people, in my opinion. We can talk about the football side of things without feeling ghoulish, which has been a problem like throughout this. Mm-hmm. To peel back the curtain for our dear listener, as we were all talking yesterday, we were like, so how do we talk about this without sounding like complete, you know, it's like, you know, a bunch of people are sick with COVID. Let's talk about how that might affect the game on Sunday.
Right. Yeah. Who's going to get Nick Bolton snaps? I thought about trying to purposefully make the ghoulish segues, Seth, as a joke, but maybe partially seriously later in the show, we'll see where we end up. You know, again, Nick Bolton going to the COVID list is obviously bad news, but he was bad news for the Los Angeles Chargers on Thursday night, Seth. He looked at every snap from the young linebacker. That's where we're at. That's where we're at.
No, that's where we're at. And look, that's like, you know what? I'm gonna take a moment and then throw it back to either one of you to just reassure, dear listener. Look, gallows humor is a real thing. Take it from someone who's been working as a child protection attorney for the last 5 years. If you start feeling guilty because you're utilizing a little gallows humor to get through a tough time, stop it. Because if you don't laugh, you'll cry. And it's okay to laugh a little bit. Now, you probably don't want to become completely emotionally unhealthy like myself and Josh, where exactly. That's all we find ourselves capable of doing.
The tagline of this show should be like Nate.
Yeah, that's like that should be the tagline of many things if we're being honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's okay to laugh if that's how you cope. And that's how I cope. And it gets me in trouble sometimes, like when a defendant like hears something that I happen to say to their defense attorney about them. That was really kind of mean.
Well, and you want me to see if I can get you to laugh at something that I know will make you sad?
Oh, yay.
I would have guessed this, but I just double checked it to make sure, and it is in fact true with both Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce on the COVID reserve list. They do have more receiving yards than the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs combined.
Yes.
That's not surprising to those of us who have watched the Kansas City Chiefs play football this year. But if I ask the question more vaguely of, is there any team in the sport where two pass catchers have out-received the rest of their team? My first thought would be, I don't know, that seems really tough to do. And the Chiefs have done it this year. And that's all. I just think that's wild. That's just something that I've realized is I've kind of done a little bit of that. So what if they can't go? What if this game does happen on Sunday? So there's a fun stat for you. Nate, I'll see if we can get this from you here. And I'm going to... Just keep, I think the more we cite other people, the safer we are. You know, and I'm just trying to, just like the vaccine, man, I'm just trying to protect each other out here. And mm-hmm. So I am going to note that our friend Pete Sweeney over at Arrowhead Pride and a lot of other things, Pete has tweeted on multiple occasions, in addition to the fact that the Chiefs signed kicker Elliott Fry, he has noted that it seems like everyone could still have a chance to play, at least from the Monday list, and presumably from the Tuesday list with the updated protocols, but he has noted, except for Harrison Butker. Now look, that could mean anything. And Pete said, specifically, it sounds like I'll have a shot to play except for Butker. And maybe Pete did the best double entendre of all time regarding if these guys had shots required to play. But I don't need to know. Nobody, you know what, Nate? Who knows?
But I'm making that note. Sweeney, and I have an opinion as to whether or not he would have said that double entendre intentionally. But I'll keep that to myself.
I'd love to ask him at the Chiefs press conferences that we will not be attending in person tomorrow.
That's over.
That's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
But I mentioned that partially because I think Pete deserves some flowers there if he's doing the thing. But also to note that, again, with these new protocols, there is a chance that, I mean, presumably any vaccinated player could still make this turnaround. Can you explain, like, we're all five, Nate? Even if you're only, like, 12, you've got more in your bag right now, I think, in terms of what the options are for the Chiefs at this point with these guys.
This is me being responsible, ladies and gentlemen. When the season began, in training camp, preseason, however you'd like to... You know, it's look, everybody,
you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say, you know,
look,
that. Okay.
Look, everybody has a choice. And, mm-hmm. On the front end, the Chiefs are one of the best teams in terms of vaccination rates because they have quality leadership. And Andy Reid, who got the vaccine as soon as it was available to him, i.e. the general public, Rick Burkholder was the first chief infectious officer designated by a team in the NFL. So not only is he handling the entire, you know, athletic training department, obviously the medical staff in terms of doctors, if a player needs a major procedure or not, he's the one that told the players pretty early, it's going to be a long time, or it may take a long time, I should say, for a vaccine to be developed. But if and one comes, here are all the reasons you should take it. And so... Like any wise organization, leadership matters. This is why the Chiefs really, up until, I guess you could say Sunday, because that's when guys started getting notified that they were going to be tested. You could say up until that point that they were one of the best teams in the league in terms of not having COVID disrupt their normal operations. At training camp, it was made aware to me that Harrison Butker had not received the vaccine. It appears that that may be still the case today. No one has told me that he is unvaccinated as of right now, but any logical person would tell you that the Chiefs signing a kicker a week before a outbreak occurred leads them to tell you that they knew that maybe Harrison Butker, if he contracted the virus, was going to have a longer period to return to the team. And ladies and gentlemen, the Chiefs have made it clear to everyone they don't want Tommy Townsend kicking field goals and punting. Okay? Marcus Kemp, I believe, is the secondary holder.
I'm sorry to cut you off. This is the best tidbit within a tidbit that this show may have ever had. Is Tommy Townsend like a terrible emergency like extra point kicker? Could he not pull that off?
I've seen Tommy Townsend hit 35-yard field goals. Now, that's in practice with no one watching. Okay?
Sure. Okay. Interesting.
So if you want a game-winning field goal against the Pittsburgh Steelers, whether it's Sunday at 6:30 or Tuesday at 8:30, depending upon where the league will have to make a decision based on all the information that I've understood so far, the Chiefs weren't comfortable putting a second-year punter out there for all field goal and onside kicks and point-after attempts and punt responsibilities. They weren't willing to put all that on his shoulders so far, or the burden of the responsibility. Now, as I just mentioned, Marcus Kemp, I believe Dave Tobes told us, is the secondary holder. Well, the problem now is the biggest outbreak, based on what you're telling me, Josh, is either in the wide receiver room or the DB room, based on the knowledge we have so far. Two active players in terms of the receiving room, two guys that are on practice squad. So we will ask Andy Reid tomorrow. It's appropriate. It's within reason. You want to get as much information as you can. It's Andy Reid's right and prerogative to not answer the question. But at least when the season began, Harrison Butker was one of the few players who was not vaccinated. And hopefully we can get some clarification on if that is still the case, which again, his choice. But it's going to influence him not just in Sunday's scheduled game right now, but it could be an issue next week as well in Cincinnati if we all get to Cincinnati.
We would love to be on to Cincinnati as soon as possible at this point. Seth, I don't know if this is a dumb question, but if this is the last, we're not going to do an emergency podcast on Christmas morning. I we love you guys, really. So much appreciation for the audience of this show. Partially because I don't think you could ask us to do an emergency podcast on Christmas morning. So this is where we're at as this is all very much up in the air. But have you given any thought to like what does the offense look like with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce just not on the field? Also no Blake Bell. So we're talking a lot of Noah Gray, maybe Josh Gordon gets back, maybe Cornell Powell gets the call up. I mean, what a lot of Byron Pringle, a lot of Mecole Hardman. Have you given that any thought at all, or are you more concerned about, you know, anything else?
I have given that a lot of thought today, actually. And so I was going to write about the Chiefs' overtime drive and some of the things that Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill did that people might have missed a little. Like breaking down those plays because they were awesome. However, given in light of recent events, I think that it might be worth writing about a little bit like how I would game plan if I were Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And so that's actually something I've given a lot of thought to. And so by the time someone's listening to this, there might be something up on the Chiefs North News that I'm still kind of workshopping it. Because here's the problem. When you've got an offensive lineman on the list, if there is one position group that spends time together and eats together and hangs out together and, you know, just does everything together, that would be your offensive lineman. And so anything that I write is going to be contingent on the personnel they have left. And as we record right now on Tuesday afternoon, there's no way of knowing whether or not that's how things are going to look. So there's kind of two game plans here. One is if the offensive line remains largely intact, right? Niang is the only loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kyle Long as well.
Yes, I should have been better. I should have phrased
among
that
the starters.
Though. Among, yes, the, among starters, the starters, right?
Right? Now it's just Niang, yes.
Because I think if that happens, Pittsburgh run defense has been pretty bad this year, which is unusual for them. And I think there are some arguments to be made for how that game could be done in terms of, you know, hey, Clyde, remember when we drafted you in the first round? Mm-hmm. You're up, man. And now, you know, and I think there's something to be said for, okay, we need to alter our approach and maybe become a very run-heavy team, at least in a different way. That said, if Mahomes is still healthy, because that's obviously the biggest one, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to throw the ball a ton because he's not some bum of a quarterback who, when he loses his top weapons, gets, I don't know, shut out on national television. You know, because only bum quarterbacks have that happen to them when they lose their top three receiving options. I'm talking about Tom Brady, guys, and you're really hurting my feelings that you're not hearing me. Anyway, I got Nate out here refusing to make noises because he doesn't want to be in the soundbite.
You just do your thing, man. You got it. You got it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you wanted me to start another feud. Yeah, you're right. It's my turn again.
Yeah, yeah. No, but that's I think Mahomes is a guy who can operate with a limited receiving core with the way that he plays. But I think if they are out Kelce and Hill, they have to redesign the offense. Because while the offense is built somewhat around Patrick Mahomes' skill set, it's also built somewhat around Tyreek Hill's and Travis Kelce's. And so the first thing I would look to is, okay, what are your most talented weapons remaining? And, you know, absent Mahomes, because it's always Mahomes is the sun around which everything orbits. Mm-hmm. What are your most talented weapons left? That would be Clyde and the offensive line. And you can weaponize an offensive line, make no mistake. So that would be the game plan I would gear up. And then also, if people want to feel better, you could, you know, we'll see what happens. One never knows, any given Sunday. But you go back and watch what the Steelers offense looked like on Sunday. I think the Chiefs can win that game scoring 20,
mm-hmm.
17.
And that's if Willie Gay, Chris Jones, Legarius Sneed, who none of them played against the Chargers.
Right.
Hopefully they'd be back. Nobody got activated today. Sneed, obviously, not a COVID list.
Yeah, and so with Gay and Jones, with when they went out, and based on their Twitter activity, they seem like they're feeling, based on Chris Jones's activity popping in on a podcast out of nowhere, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think they're feeling okay, which at least should lend evidence to the idea that maybe by Sunday they'll be all right. Mm-hmm. And I think a relatively healthy Chiefs defense, Rashad Fenton being out, would be a big deal. And so all of this is contingent on players, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I got to tell you, even if they don't have Gay and Jones, the Steelers' offense is just not scary at all.
Yeah.
With all the usual caveats. So that was a long-winded answer that honestly could have just been distilled to, it depends on who's healthy.
So, Nate, we might be near the end of what we can reasonably speculate on at this point. But whenever you have looked at all the stuff with those protocols and with the guys that, you know, talking about Mondays and Tuesdays, and if it's Wednesday, it feels a lot less likely. But do you just have anything else in terms of a pulse on what this process would look like? Maybe even in a best case scenario, maybe in the most up and down scenario, anything that you think that people ought to know right now about how this process has evolved, what changed last week, what could change this week in terms of who could be available if the game, let's just say, gets played at 3:30 on Sunday.
Yeah, and let's actually start right there. The Chiefs have an argument based on precedent to ask the league to postpone the game till either Monday or Tuesday. Now, what we watched yesterday on Monday, and I think even today, because I was just looking at the Washington football team's inactive list, and pushing the game back to Tuesday didn't really help. But based on what we saw yesterday with the Browns, it didn't particularly help them either in terms of how many people came back. Actually, it was very, very few. But the league has now made it clear they are willing to postpone a game. CBS might be in favor of this just because they are it's the Chiefs and the Steelers. It's the most, I guess, depending upon your, and I love Bills Patriots, but like they're one of the most interesting games of the week from the AFC, which obviously CBS has most of AFC games. If you push it back a day or two, technically it does give you more time for players who have tested positive this week, starting with like Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Rashad Fenton. It does give them another couple of hours to get a negative test back, which is all they need as long as they are asymptomatic. It's fascinating because Chris Jones, Willie Gay, Josh Gordon, under the previous policy that was altered starting Monday, basically starting yesterday, the guys in the old policy last week, they have to still have two negative tests. Because the issue there, and I wonder if this was based on player tracking data, which of course the league looks into, and that is sort of part of the, hey, this is why we are doing random spot testing based on data from the game and like who you were interacting with, not just on your team, but on the opposing team. And what we know about Thursday's game against the Chargers is that Joey Bosa did test positive and he is unvaccinated. And so anybody that he was around, you can just make a relative educated guess and say, hey, for your health and based on what we need to know about who can be available under the protocol guidelines, we need to have you come in for a test. Now, that has frustrated players immensely this week because you can't alter the policy but then require guys to test when they feel like, well, I've been vaccinated and I feel fine. And that's been sort of hanging over all of this. So I'm going to try to be as clear as I can. People should follow Lindsey Jones, one of our NFL writers for The Athletic. She does a wonderful job understanding and trying to relay this information. Cause you know, even we can see what the league puts out and we're like, but that don't make sense. By the way, just a bit of a sidebar. I have to test and be negative just to see practice tomorrow outside. So the policy is all over the place. Which, by the way, that was not the case last year. And thankfully, by God's grace, I have been fully vaccinated and have received my booster shot already, which I would encourage everyone, and everybody in the NFL is going to have to do it shortly. Please get your booster shot if it is available to you and you haven't contracted the virus of late. So, Lindsay and I were talking earlier today, and our understanding is, Josh, Seth, is that the Chiefs probably, after Travis Kelce tested positive, after who else was it yesterday? Harrison Butker, who we think may still be unvaccinated. After those guys tested positive, we surmise that the Chiefs probably had to test close contacts, which means everybody. Like, it's a football team. I mean, it's just, it's unfortunate. And at least you have a more clear picture, if that makes sense. As I said earlier, hey, hadn't touched the running back room yet. That's a good thing. Apparently, quarterbacks been doing their job, even though clearly they were all on the plane together. They were all in the locker room. They were all on the team bus. Like, it's the reality that we all live in. So they had to do some close contact sort of testing. And now you put that on top of our understanding of the new policy, which is you, if you're a vaccinated player and you test because you are symptomatic or you test because you're a high risk vaccinated contact to someone who is a confirmed positive. Does that make sense?
Say it slower one more time.
If you're a vaccinated player, you test now under the new policy because you are symptomatic. You have right. some symptoms that would lead anyone to say, hey, you might want to get a test. Mm-hmm. Or you're a high-risk vaccinated contact to someone who is a confirmed positive, i.e. Travis Kelce, i.e. Harrison Butker. Or, as I mentioned earlier, you are selected for random spot testing because you was around Joey Bosa on Thursday night.
Mm.
You're saying is the most damage that Joey Bosa did to the Chiefs offense.
There it is! We're back!
By the way, unvaccinated players are still tested every day, including Cole Beasley. So that's what I can tell you based on everything we've tried to understand from the league, from what teams are asking players to do. It's, you know, if I can get to practice on Wednesday, which I don't know if anybody's understood this, who isn't getting a paycheck from the NFL, it's hard to get a test these days. And I'm not just saying from like CVS or Walgreens. I'm like, hey man, y'all got any of them at home tests? hey man, I think I feel fine. And hopefully the test will tell me this, but I actually need a test to tell me this. So I would love to move on to the mailbag. I'm trying my best. Is there any other questions I guess you guys have? Because I would be shocked if this game was played at 3:30 on Sunday.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My question would be, you said the Chiefs could ask the league, you know, hey, we got to do something here.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, and this might be crazy, I don't know, maybe I'm galaxy braining too hard here. I've partially, throughout this podcast, have realized that lots of top two teams' receivers, are, you know, have more receiving yards than the rest of their team. And I understand that because
oh,
the
really?
Emphasis being here. Yeah, like, it makes sense for, like, the Bengals, right? But a decent number of guys do that. The emphasis here being, you know, they might not be out here on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, my question is it, would it be better for the Chiefs to have less time to prepare for the Bengals, understanding what you mentioned earlier, Nate, that moving games back hasn't necessarily done much of great right. impact for the teams that have been most impacted by this? Like,
correct.
I think that, and again, this all changes tomorrow if there are 10 more positives. Certainly if one of them is Patrick Mahomes, whatever.
Correct.
But I don't know. I think I would lean towards cobbled together against the Steelers if you feel like it's gotten relatively contained at that point and try to keep yourself that week for the Bengals game. I don't know. Maybe I'm galaxy braining them.
No. That's fine. And I think for football reasons, that makes a lot of sense. Doesn't work
for football reasons.
Doesn't work for television. Now, yeah. I'm sure people are wondering, well, Nate, Patrick Mahomes hasn't tested positive. Hey, we ain't going to be out here starting Nick Mullins on a Monday night or Monday afternoon. I mean, good God. By the way, shout out to Nick Mullins. Kind of got in a groove in the second half. I always like it when somebody hasn't played football in years, okay? And I mean real football. Look, even if 13 guys are not available for the Chiefs, they still going to be playing real football out there, okay? Mm-hmm. And Nick Mullins was like, guys, this is hard. Uh-huh. And then in the second half, he was like, okay, I'm a professional athlete. I've caught my groove. Sort of figured some things out schematically. It does help that, like, they're the home team. So, look, yes, listener, I understand that you're saying, well, if the quarterback is there, if the marquee guy is still there, maybe they don't move the game. And there is some argument to that. Again, based on the precedent that the league has set already, how many times do you want Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball to DeMarcus Robinson?
The name was going to matter a lot there for me because I could get pretty hyphy for a Noah Gray, Mecole Hardman game, honestly.
Now, CBS will tell you they don't want that unless they absolutely have to put it on. And what the NFL has told us already is those games will be played because obviously if you forfeit a game, this isn't going to be, you know, the cutoff is Tuesday. If they move this game as far back as they can, it's Tuesday. The more logical thing is probably to do it Monday, because that leads into Monday Night Football, y'all. It's going to be tough. Again, as you listen to this, more news may have been revealed from when we were recording this, but I do want to tell people that, like, the Chiefs are the number one seed in the AFC with very little wiggle room in terms of margin for error. The league may look favorable on them and say, all right, the game has been moved another 24 hours. If nobody gets back from the COVID list, we at least gave you the same grace period as the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. And then you just move forward. But, you know, DeMarcus Robinson has a role, but he's also not Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. And so that's where they are. And those guys, as we said earlier, they only need one negative test and they need to be asymptomatic. But it's rough. I mean, I guess for you, Seth, do you, if we were looking at it from a coaching perspective, would you want the extra day to help adjust, take things out, add things to the game plan? Or are you just like, let's just get this through and we can focus attention, hopefully with more guys back for the Bengals?
I mean, the Bengals are a better team.
Correct.
A much better team. And honestly, I'm curious if you're Andy Reid. Because, man, you have only a certain number of reps and a certain number of opportunities to practice certain things. And so it's hard to just simplify it to like, oh, well, you should just go with an entirely different playbook than what you would normally run. That's easy say, hard do, right? It's at the same time, I kind of feel like they should. Like, just like, it's the Steelers. Understand that they're not a terrible team. I mean, they're in contention for the playoffs. Their offense is bad. They've got a good defense. But maybe you just go into it and you say, hey, we need to just strip down the offense, completely simplify. We are going to run a ton of let's let Pat do something crazy type plays and a ton of power. See if they can, like, you know, start off the game with five straight runs and see if they can stop it. And if they can't, tell Clyde and Gore and Daryl, just be like, guys,
we already put an ice in the tub. Don't worry. Yeah.
Like, look, guys, you're going to be tired today, but I don't think they can stop the run. And y'all, we really probably should not force Mahomes against a good pass rush to be forced to look for open options where they might not be there all the time. And so I don't know if the extra day really does anything for me in terms of game planning. I think if you're Reed, you strip it down, you simplify that. I don't think an extra day helps with that. I think an extra day maybe gets you an extra guy or two back. It seems like players generally aren't coming back very quickly, but we haven't seen these new protocols for very long.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I was curious the effects that this would have, you know, some of these, like we talked about, you know, when you take away some of the protocols, when you get one, you're going to get five, you know, or 10 or 15, because you also have the protocol of testing asymptomatic people who are close contacts. And a bet that I have just in the complete back of my mind as we start to talk about other stuff, I wonder if the ultimate result of all this is going to lead to them just not testing asymptomatic people ever. That seems like something the NFL would do.
But it seems like the direction they've been maybe starting to tilt towards, yeah.
But here's the problem with that. As much as the league, and again, I think the players are in that viewpoint, like majority wise. I'm not saying like every player thinks this, but like there is a large segment of players who are like asymptomatic. I can take a few more snaps.
Right.
But if anybody tests positive on your team, it will trickle, at least under these new protocols, or trigger, I should say, the high-risk confirmed, you know, the high-risk vaccinated contact to someone who was confirmed positive. I mean, good Lord. I love the phrasing. I actually don't love it. But again, are you at high risk because your teammate at your same position tested positive? Well, I'm sorry if you feel asymptomatic and feel fine, like, get your you-know-what in here. And we gotta sort of identify how much the variant has gotten a hold of the team.
I think that particular strategy has a bunch of holes in it that we can poke a later episode, because I would rather ask you guys some questions from our dear listeners than hear myself talk about COVID some more. Does that work for you guys?
Wonderful. I hope people hung with me, because this is I'm doing my best, guys.
I'm going to answer this question before I ask it, and I'm going to say that I'm here for it. This is from Cody Glenn Barnhart. Any chance of taking a flyer on Bashaud Breeland? He was released by the Vikings after some sort of altercation, and apparently there was no coming back from that. Here's what I would say. I thought this before the Chiefs were looking to potentially be without Tre'Davious Ward and Rashad Fenton for a period of time. Think about what a year with the Minnesota Vikings would do to you. I mean, Seth, you've just been in Minnesota for all this time, and look at what happened to you. Whoa. I would welcome him back with open arms, totally seriously. Why don't you convince me otherwise?
I'm not going to be the one to convince you otherwise.
Let's
mean,
go!
You might as well at least see. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Now, the big thing would be, though, is he would need to understand it's a different team this year.
Yes.
That L'Jarius Sneed has stepped up big. Ward ain't going anywhere. Fenton stepped up big. And even, you know, look, even Hughes has stepped up in moments. He's had ups and downs, shall we say.
Yes.
And Baker's had more downs than ups, but he's had some moments too. He plays real physical. So, you know, if you bring him on, he can't expect to walk back in and be the full-time starter like he was.
Just need you for a month and a half, Bashaud. A month and a half of your best team football.
Yeah, just, yeah. I mean, I would present it in a look, man. I mean, what else are you going to do? Are you going to stay at home and not collect checks?
Like, with the scheme that he was in an hour and a half ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just a matter of like, hey, man, you're probably going to be, and they can at least see what he's got left in his legs, because he has not played well with the Vikings this year. Mm-hmm. And if you can't perform in Mike Zimmer's scheme, because Zim knows how to coach corners.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they can at least see, because I mean, Spags does a lot of zone stuff, a lot of stuff that maybe losing a step or two isn't going to hurt him as much. He plays super physical, tackles really well. So that fits in with what their cornerback group does well. You tell him, hey, you know, you might be our fourth corner. I got to tell you, the idea of Bashaud Breeland being their fourth corner,
not bad.
I don't hate that.
It's not bad. Now here's something I do know. Mike Zimmer did not call this man Breezy.
Right? Right? And one man did.
And you know who did, Josh. tell the audience.
Listen, I thought Breezy did a great job out there. That's all I'm saying. That Breezy did a great job. We love Breezy. It didn't work out. Spags, baby. Steve Spagnuolo knows the nicknames of these dudes.
Yeah.
Uses them casually. Casually. Reporters.
Yes. Breezy. look. I think the Chiefs obviously have some bigger concerns right now. Yep. But this is intriguing. I would be willing to suggest that maybe the Chiefs should look into it. Great gentlemen have said before me, he would need to understand his role, but he knows the terminology. By the way, Tyrann Mathieu was a big, had a big voice in trying to retain him. I think the issue was that monetarily, the two sides were too far apart. And Bashaud Breeland, any agent would tell you at this age of your career, you kind of have to take the most money and there's a chance for you to start. So that's what Minnesota offered him. I love that Bashaud Breeland still has the confidence. But yeah, it would be in a limited role. And similar to Melvin Ingram, he'd actually be a positive in terms of locker room culture, conversations amongst guys, teaching guys, obviously the experience that he has, even if he's not on the field, kind of being another, you know, coach/assistant. Why not?
Let's go. I want to make some quick ones here, so we'll take this one from Karen directly to you here, Nate. Are we ever going to get reporters back in the locker room? I know I text this as COVID is still running rampant. You can make this one probably a one-word one, Nate.
What was the dear listener's name again?
Karen. That was from Karen.
Karen. Karen, it is my hope and dream to be back in that four walls. And you and I both know I'm out here getting Heisman'd over and over and over again. For this season, it's no. For next season, we are in some unfavorable position. It's such a small thing on such a giant scale. But people need to get vaccinated. They need to get boosted as best they can. And we need to, honestly, it's like, can we just give our healthcare workers a break? I mean, guys.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault, but they are facing the brunt of it. And again, from the large scale back to the tiniest of a morsel, can you imagine what that locker room was like after Thursday's game?
Because
that was the season in a nutshell, for that specific game, to understand the division and the potential of chasing the one seed, not knowing at the time that they were going to retain it. There are memories. I'll share one here really quick, Karen. Travis Kelce had one of the best games of his career, perhaps the best regular season game of his life. When the Detroit Lions in 2018 beat the living you-know-what out of him because Patricia was using the Bill Belichick formula of double-teaming him, roughing him up, doing that halo coverage that Andy Reid talked about, obviously Mahomes leads them down the field. I think Darrell Williams scores a game-winning touchdown. The Chiefs, I believe, 4-0. And the man who was one of the more emotional, screaming from the top of his lungs in the locker room, was Travis Kelce. I can't imagine how Travis Kelce was. But part of the job is to get information and to get a sense of what the team is going through. And one of the truest ways of doing that is actually being in the locker room when a result has either gone the team's way or has not gone the team's way. And it is that reporting that we have all sort of lost because of this hideous disease.
Am I allowed to say something blunt? Like, I don't have as much of a dog in the fight as a lot of people.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, always.
Some NFL teams don't really want reporters to have access.
And that is fair.
Correct.
And that's, how's that? They're just not, that's not their favorite thing. And not for any nefarious reason, necessarily. just because NFL teams like to control everything they can possibly control.
It's the military.
Yep.
Without the military.
Yep. So, yeah, any excuse that most NFL teams have to limit access, they're going to do it.
But thank you, Karen, for even asking the question and even considering our jobs.
You got a good story, too.
Yeah.
It's just the answer's going to be not soon, it seems like. I'm gonna try to go back and forth Christmas and football, and we got to keep them relatively tight because we got a few pretty good ones here from Nick Mullins. If you had the draft or sign one of Santa's reindeer, who would it be in what position? I got my answer if you need me to buy some time.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm putting a neck roll on Blitzen, and I am sending him straight up into the middle of that defensive line, wreaking havoc. It's literally his name. Sorry, Seth. I think that was the only good answer. It's why I chose to do this question.
Now, look, can we put Rudolph on a jet sweep? See what happens?
Absolutely.
Yes, but I mean, you are leaving out the idea that when you run four verts as much as I do, you need Dasher out there.
That's huge. His long speed is not great, but quickness is incredible.
Yeah. And Dancer, we know, is Cam Irving. The greatest celebrator in the history. I will always have a very special place in my heart for Cam Irving. I'm sorry, this isn't keeping it short, but you remember in not the last game, but the week before, where Mahomes took kind of a late hit after he was sliding. One of the best quote tweets I saw on that was some version of "Hand to God, Cam Irving gets arrested if this happens." And he's absolutely right. Like, Cam Irving would have been all over that dude. And I miss that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad no one's getting themselves thrown out of games. But I thought that was the funniest comment. Like, yep, he's going to jail that day. That's what would have happened.
Chef Boyardg on Twitter says, if a Bucks revenge game isn't possible for the Super Bowl, and frankly, I'll put that one on the table so we can all take different ones if you want. Who would be your favorite opponent from an entertainment view in the Super Bowl? Mahomes versus Rodgers, Mahomes versus Kyler Murray, rematch of the Rams game from 2018. Ooh. Obviously, in different pieces there, but all of those are fun. What would you guys take? I would sign up for Reed. I would sign up for Rodgers versus Mahomes.
Yeah, the correct answer is Green Bay, because we were sort of immunized from having it earlier this year, and you know, let's hope. I'm gonna just say it right now. Aaron Rodgers
was canceled. I'm so proud of myself right now.
You guys should feel safe also knowing that either of you took the most obvious jokes in a segment where I talked about blitzing. So you guys are good.
Look, I just want to be woke when Chiefs Packers occur for Super Bowl 56, okay? I just want to be woke.
Like Martin Luther King Jr. might have said, I just want to be there for the Super Bowl.
Can you imagine the State Farm? Hey guys, I know it's the biggest game of the season, but could you come down to LA just a day early to film some stuff for the Super Bowl? I think it is for the thematic reasons in NFL history, you actually want a healthy Bucks team. I'm sorry, Chris Godwin. Versus a healthy Chiefs team. That's what you actually want.
Yeah. Did you see the new layer that got added to this rivalry 5 minutes ago?
No. Oh, yes, I did.
The Buccaneers are signing Le'Veon Bell.
Huge. That's massive. Yeah,
that's a bit of a layer, I guess.
The right team, Seth. The right football answer is Packers Chiefs. Historically, for a massive TV number, you want healthy Chiefs, healthy Bucks.
I care the most about bad narratives getting extinguished, and one of the only chances Mahomes has, barring winning like 20 Super Bowls, because people always say, well, you know, Brady beat him, though. You know, Brady beat him straight up in the Super Bowl, and I just can't. And so that's the one I want is a rematch, because I think without all the things that happened in the last one, that's Mahomes' best shot at running down Brady for the GOAT status. For football purposes, though, it would be really interesting to see the chip on Aaron Rodgers' shoulder after a week of hearing about how great Mahomes is versus the chip on Patrick Mahomes' shoulder after a week of hearing about how great Aaron Rodgers is. Because these are two of the pettiest humans on the planet, competitively speaking. I don't know either of them personally, but competitively, these guys are petty. And I love that. So that would be fun to watch.
I don't know why you think Aaron Rodgers would have a chip in his shoulder, because he didn't get vaccinated, actually, and so he didn't get that. I don't. Just so you know, I'm not sure if you caught that.
Don't try to take my obvious jokes.
That's what we're here for. From Colin Eric on Twitter, are all of these statements true? This has been the worst season of the Mahomes slash Reed era. This is the most complete team of the Mahomes slash Reed era. And anything short of a Super Bowl appearance will be a disappointment. Are all of those true?
No.
What's false?
The most complete team in the era was in 2019. I don't need to go much deeper than that, but no.
No,
Nineteen is a Disney movie, kids. Okay, like there's no. I guess statistically, yes, but also, Mahomes had some dips because of injuries in 19. Like let's be real there too. Mm-hmm. And what was the last question?
I closed.
Is it considered
anything short of anything? Is it considered a full appearance is a disappointment?
Yeah, I think that's true.
No. I would say no, because I tried to frame the season in this way. Getting the four straight AFC Championship games is success or not. If you don't get to the AFC Championship game, I would consider that a disappointment. Anything once you reach the AFC Championship is a bonus, whether you win that game, get to the Super Bowl, win that game, or lose the Super Bowl, or obviously lose in the AFC Championship. It, as much as I've studied NFL history and the amount of just snaps and games on the core players' bodies, getting to a fourth AFC Championship game would be incredible, because they're not even like Tom Brady core groups that did that.
Right. Tom Brady went 10 years between Super Bowl championships.
Correct.
Yep.
People forget about that, and so their way that they view what dynasty should look like got completely jacked up by the Patriots, because we don't realize how fast time goes by. So they smashed together these six Super Bowl championships in New England, not realizing that was over the course of 20 years. Yeah. My answers would be yes, maybe no.
Is it okay to acknowledge that Man in the Arena is excellently done?
Even though I was waiting for the reviews to start, and you saying it's good, I gotta watch it.
Even though it's from a player's perspective, and you have to understand that it's from the player's perspective, I get that. It is still excellently done, because it just, I guess the early episodes, I haven't gotten to all of them, but it just reminds you of how far this league has come, and just, wow.
It's definitely a different league.
And Bill Belichick is still better than just about everybody.
Yeah, no, that dude's an unbelievable coach.
But
I would say this year we hit the biggest low because we didn't have injury excuses as much this year.
Correct.
So that would be a yes. Then I'm going to say maybe for the most complete team, simply because I think the ceiling on this defense is significantly higher than the one from 2019, depending on how things play out. It's tough to replace Watkins in terms of that third weapon. And then, it's not short of a Super Bowl. You just can't realistically expect to make the Super Bowl every year. You can't.
I think this show's pretty good, but holy bleep, our hurry-up offense is awful. We are taking 8-minute drives up and down the field every time, man. There is no get up and go in this offensive scheme.
I will one sentence it from here on out unless you tell me otherwise.
Yes, same.
Jeremy says, Christmas movie power rankings. I'll just take your favorite one. Favorite Christmas movie?
The Family Man.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
Nice.
Okay, Seth?
Just to pick something different, I guess I'll go with Home Alone. But man, The Family Man's a great movie.
Wow. Okay. The great calls. I my whole family watch It's a Wonderful Life every year. And so now I carry that torch on. It's a good movie. But it's a good movie. From Defensive Indifference, could Patrick Mahomes have made John Baldwin good?
No. I'm going to just say no. There's a limit to these things, people. And the things I've learned about John Baldwin since starting to cover this league, no. And that, again, I hope John Baldwin listens. Maybe I don't, but like, no.
I think he could have helped prolong his career, but not made him good, if that makes sense. Totally. Picking up some stats and being good aren't the same thing.
Correct.
This is from Owen. If you had a gun to your head, wow, choosing violence early here, they said. Very self-aware. What would you say is more likely, the Chiefs lose in the divisional round or that they win the Super Bowl?
Less likely or more likely?
More likely. That's skipping a wild card round that right now they wouldn't have to play in.
Right. I kind of want to say Super Bowl. Because it's Andy Reid coming off a bye week. Again, knowing that hopefully COVID doesn't.
Right. The three of us might play against the Steelers, so it's hard to say.
Right. But I'm saying Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm saying Super Bowl is more likely. And that sounds bad. It's just that's what we've seen from them. Playoff Chiefs are really, 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 really hard to beat.
Yeah. I would narrowly go the other way just to say that we've seen them beat themselves and take it out of the other team's hands a couple times. Mm-hmm. And it happened this year. We've seen it. I'm not predicting it. I'm a little nervous about it. From Jetty Rat, I am married to a Steelers family. My wife and my son are Steelers fans. My wife's parents and my brother-in-law and his family will be at our house for Christmas. My daughter and I will be outnumbered 9-2 on game day. Suggestions for surviving/navigating the day. You got to have good presents the day before, and you got to hope that game actually happens. That's all I got to say. Because it should tilt your direction. That would be my advice. You guys didn't have anything? Seth, you're a part of a split football family.
I am part of a split football family, sort of. Right now, my youngest son says he wants to be a Vikings fan because his cousin is a Vikings fan, and they're really close in age because my brother-in-law is a Vikings. So I just think sometimes it's okay to watch games apart from one another.
That's great advice. I heard Nate take a call, so I'm going to get to the next one here. This one from Blake is honestly too good for the very end of this show. It says, why is the offense great in the opening script, great in the end of game turn Pat loose mode, but so unproductive in the normal game situations in between?
I mean, I think that's an oversimplification. I think people are looking for something, so they find it. And with football, because it's so hard to be dominant on every drive, because if you were, you'd score, 70 points. And there's a reason people don't. It's just really, really hard to move the football. I think... I could be wrong here. I think the lack of a third reliable weapon does hurt them at times. Mm-hmm. And so you get some of those small mistakes that they can't overcome as easily as in years past. And I think that's something they'll need to address. I don't buy the idea that Reed, if that's what's kind of getting implied, that Reed has like given up game plan or like play calling. I just don't buy it.
I'm going to just hit the last one so we can end on this one. From Hoikus, best Christmas present story from each of you giving or receiving. I can't remember what was on my birthday, what was Christmas, because they're 2 days apart. But I got a black Nintendo DS Lite. I think it's my 13th birthday or Christmas 2 days afterwards. I still have it. It's wonderful. That one will stick with me.
Mine's very similar. As a 7th or 8th grader, getting a Nintendo 64 and GoldenEye. And it was just like I cried because I didn't think that I would get one for a variety of reasons. But yeah, it was pretty awesome. And then, of course, I've gotten a lot of really nice stuff for my kids. I figured I should throw that in there.
And I think Nate's gone. So I think that's the end of the show. Nate, you have a Christmas present? Nate might be on the phone right now.
Nate, stay completely silent if
you're unavailable.
If Josh and I are everything you've ever wanted to be in a person, Nate, don't say a word. I knew it.
Wow. Nate, if the best Christmas present you've ever gotten is the gift of friendship from me and Seth, just don't say anything.
I'm starting to well up.
What a nice guy.
Nate, if you are 100% certain that the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl this year and next year, and you guarantee that to our listeners, don't say a word.
Wow. I mean, he must be getting choked up. Nate, I guess last one for me is if you want me to come over and just get all your credit card information from Holly and then just have that and use it for myself as I see fit, I guess just don't say anything and I'll head that way.
Man,
all right, well, Seth, we got to wrap up. I got to get out of here. I got to get to Nate's house and try to – I mean, Nate, if I can just come in and just sort of like break in or whatever, don't say anything. I got to go. So I'll also wrap up this edition of the show. You can read Nate's work throughout what will surely be a hectic Christmas week on The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at @ByNateTaylor. You can follow Seth at @RealMNChiefsFan. And, of course, there's a great piece on Nick Bolton that we didn't get to talk about today. Sorry. People should read it. It's unlocked for everybody too, right?
Yes, it is. I think people would have fun reading it. I think people will enjoy it. Really kind of honing in on how different a player he looked like in coverage against the Chargers. There's no guarantee, right, what it'll be moving forward, but his recognition looks faster, and there's a lot of other stuff in there. I think you'll enjoy it. He was a plus player in coverage on Thursday, which, let me tell you, was not the case earlier this year.
Yeah. So that's at mnchiefsfan.substack.com. Plus, there could be something else there as well. I do a lot of tweeting at JB Briscoe, occasionally other things. You can follow me there. Seth, since you're here and Nate's not, why don't you wrap us up, send us out with a, I don't know, I'm going to send a message of Christmas cheer, a message of, you know, being quiet whenever you really want to tell your friends how much they mean to you. That's really up to you. I'll leave it in your hands.
I will do a Christmas thing every year that my, every year my wife makes me send out a Christmas letter to our friends and family. And this year, I always do a theme for it. It's as obnoxious as you're imagining. Speaking of which, Josh, you need to text me your address.
I was just thinking that I hadn't gotten one. It's December 21st. It's cool, man.
I haven't sent it out yet. I just drafted it. I was in Florida. And so so every year I pick a theme. And so in previous years, it was what each member of my family, who they were, if they were a member of the Chiefs, because that was the year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I was Eric Fisher for a variety of reasons, of which I won't bore you with right now. And so I wrote one this year, and my theme this year was a bunch of definitions of words, you know, using a thesaurus to describe every member of my family. And so to send us off in typically long-winded fashion, I just wanted to let every one of our listeners know that what I think of them, you know, if I were to pick a word to define them, I would say that you guys are all, as he stalled for just one more minute.
Nate, don't say anything if you are really excited to hear what Seth's going to come up with here.
Oh, sure. So you, dear readers, this Christmas season, listeners, or whatever holiday you happen to be celebrating, just understand that you are priceless, cherished, incalculable, invaluable, prized, treasured, of inestimable worth. And I know that for an absolute fact. That is you. And so have a Merry Christmas.
Now, Nate, if you'd like to echo that message, stay perfectly silent.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.